Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to a very special podcast. I said would never happen, but we've managed to find some time to make it happen. And I hope that the three of you who asked for this are grateful. It is, of course, our deep dive trailer breakdown into the second and final trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home, which debuted yesterday and has got people all a tizzy, all a flutter about various things that are revealed in the trailer or certainly hinted at in the trailer. For the third and potentially final part of the Tom Holland, John Watts, MCU / Sony crossover Spider-Man franchise. This is exciting, this one.
Mm.
This is very interesting and exciting. I'm joined by Helen O'Hara.
Hello.
And Ben Travis.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. First things first, guys, general reactions to the trailer. What did we think?
Yes.
Good. More of this, like... 2.5 hours more of this.
I wonder how long this movie's going to be. Like John Watts, in my interview with him for the current issue of Empire, which is on sale right now with Spider-Man No Way Home on the cover, jokingly referred to it as Spider-Man Endgame. And I do wonder if that's where we are lengthwise a little bit, because I think what's hinted at and / maybe confirmed in this trailer mm-hmm. is only half, at least half, of what we're going to actually see in this film. And I just think of all the different elements that are potentially in this movie and wonder, there's no way that's a 100-minuteer. A 100-minuteeer? That was very ye old Stephen King character from, you know, who's lived in Bangor, Maine for a long time. As a 100-minuteer. Wasn't that 100-minuteeer? This isn't going to be 2 hours. This is 2 hours plus, right?
No, the amount of plot balls flying in the air and 8 spider arms juggling them all at the same time, surely. I mean, in a world where Far From Home was what, like 2.25 hours?
4.5 hours.
Hey. Just to do like a bunch of fakey monsters and oh, it's Mysterio, and then now we fight Mysterio. In a world where that film is 2.25 hours, this one I'm sure is going to be long. I mean, if it's slightly tighter, I don't necessarily know if I want a 3-hour behemoth of a Spider-Man movie. I hope they kind of keep it relatively tight, but I've really enjoyed the pacing and the energy of John Watts' previous Spider-Man film, so I kind of trust in him to wrangle all this stuff and to rein it into something that is manageable.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought what's interesting about the, we'll get into it, we don't have a lot of time. I know I said that sometimes and we do like an hour, 2 hours, but we don't because Pilot will be banging on the door asking to use the studio in a second.
I mean, we already borrowed the Eye of Agamotto just to make this happen, and I don't think we can ask for it again. It would just be a bit rude.
We could just lock them out.
That's a good idea. Does it have a lock? Let's do that.
It does have a lock. And we could just pretend not to hear their cries and thumping on the door. We could just pretend to do that. So we maybe won't go frame by frame as we did with the first Spider-Man trailer. But what I thought was interesting about this was that most second trailers tend to repeat the story of the first one, at least in microcosm, to get people caught up. And this one doesn't do that. Perhaps I think the first one may be one of the most viewed, if not the most viewed trailer in the history of movies. So perhaps Marvel and Sony just thought, you know what, we don't need to do that. So there's like the barest kind of sop to the first trailer, which is we see Doctor Strange, played of course by Benedict Cumberbatch. We see him say, talking about the spell that was cast in the first trailer and obviously the movie to try and make the world forget that Peter Parker and Spider-Man are one and the same, which seems to be the catalyst for all the multiverse shenanigans that are going on in this film. And that is dealt with in this trailer in like a second, which allows him to show lots of mind-blowing shit.
Yeah.
He might as well look right at the camera and say, you all saw the last trailer, I know it. Remember the thing about the spell that we explained last time? Good, now we can continue with this trailer. We don't have to explain the spell thing again. It's like he's winking right at the audience there.
They should have, you know, like on TVs was like, previously on Spider-Man. They should do that.
Spider-Man trailers.
Yeah, they should do that. Previously on the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home, and then just show that real quick. And now we return you to the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. And then just the trailer begins. That's what they should do.
That would be an innovative. I mean, they already have trailers for the trailer at the beginning of the trailer.
Yes, they
so,
do.
I
yeah.
mean, that's. Oh, I these make my head hurt now.
And then an advert at the end of the advert that you've just watched for the Spider-Man games that you presumably buy off the back of seeing this.
I've long said they should do that on MCU movies in general. And just now, the previously on is 3 hours long.
it's just Endgame again. You're just watching Endgame. I mean, because
I could live with that.
Because they've done that with some of the TV stuff, it then makes you go like, ooh, okay, so what's going to pop up in this episode? And obviously with like Mando as well in the Star Wars universe, like whatever's in that previously on then gives you a little hint of like, ooh, okay, so this character's coming back, or we're going to this planet, or we're going to this whatever.
But yeah, you're right. This basically tells a whole different story to that one. So sequence of events, as far as we know, Spider-Man arrested, gets out on bail or whatever, or put under maybe like some conditions of bail, goes to Doctor Strange going, this is untenable, can't have this, we got to change things. Doctor Strange very much, very unwisely changes things. And this picks up when they go, no, need to change things back, because we've got, you know, Ned here and MJ knowing, right, the truth and going with him to Doctor Strange, which implies that they have put things back. And that's all a lot of story to fit into the first maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. So the first trailer is what? The first 20 minutes, half an hour? And then this is the next hour. And then we've probably got another hour after that, which we know nothing about.
Yeah, I don't think this movie's giving much away. I'm not even sure. I'm sure it is.
Maybe.
I said I'm sure and then I'm not sure in exactly the same sentence, but you know what I mean. But the finale of this trailer is some sort of big event at the Statue of Liberty, which has shades like with a big explosion, a big ball of energy emanating from the Statue of Liberty, which immediately makes me think of the first X-Men movie. So there might be something in that as well, that perhaps this is... Oh no.
X-Men and the MCU confirmed. Did you see as well the Statue of Liberty now has a Captain America shield in her hand?
No, I didn't see that.
What? Yes. I need to watch this entire thing again. That's amazing.
How would that even work?
I get it. She's a fangirl. I respect that.
Steve Rogers is the moment.
Yeah, that sort of works. My little nephew has discovered the Statue of Liberty. He now knows what it is thanks to a Peppa Pig book and believes that she's holding up an ice cream.
Oh,
isn't that cute?
I like to believe that is canon.
I do too.
That is canon. It does make me wonder though, that might even be deliberate. There might be something here about the echoes of the past repeating themselves a little bit in the present. And so who knows? Maybe we've been looking. I don't think this is for a second. Don't worry, I can see you winding up here to diss this theory. Perhaps we've been looking in one direction, a classic John Watts Spider-Man movie misdirection. Something else is going on in the right hand here as well.
That is totally what I think in this whole trailer, because they're eking out the stuff that we sort of know already, but kind of don't, which is that, oh yes, look, it is Green Goblin and... that is Willem Dafoe doing the voice. And and yes, that was Sandman. That was a little like poof of smoke of sand in the first trailer. And now you see actual Sandman-iness. And it's kind of going, okay, yes, look at all the stuff that we have over here and we will show you more of this, and getting everyone talking about that. And I feel like that must be distracting from the thing that people aren't expecting, which I don't know what that is.
Is the thing people aren't expecting the thing absolutely everyone is expecting?
See, no, I don't think so, because I think... if Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in this film, and I imagine they might be, even if only in a small capacity, they know that we know that we think they are in this film. So they're gesturing towards all of that stuff. I feel like that is tied into all the villainy stuff of like hinting towards things and we're not going to confirm. And meanwhile, even that is a smokescreen for maybe like other stuff that we're not expecting.
Mephisto confirmed?
But what you, so following that along that natural logic line, so you're saying this is a way of getting Elektra into the MCU, like the Jennifer Garner Elektra, and just making that canon.
that's what everyone wants, Chris.
But this could be a way of opening the door to Blade. I know that there's I don't know how much we could say, but there's certain things that Blade may be on the horizon. Should we say that?
True. Yeah.
In the MCU already, we know that Mahershala Ali is Blade, but this might be a way of getting him into this world. Possibly, this might be a way of getting genuinely the X-Men into this world also. It might be.
Could be.
If they were going to do that with a film, because we've talked about, do you remember all the rumours around WandaVision? And it's like, oh, this is the event that's going to cause mutation for people with Wanda's like reality thingy.
Yeah, some people said that. I didn't. I just like that.
But that was the thing. It was like, oh, as much as that is like a big show and it would be a big way to launch the Disney Plus series, you think that isn't the avenue, surely, that they're going to like start to introduce that stuff. Whereas the massive Spider-Man film that like everyone is in, that the entire world is waiting for, if you wanted to use a film to introduce an idea, mm-hmm. maybe a very, very big film is a way to introduce a very, very big thing.
Okay, but if you were Marvel, why would you introduce all your fun new stuff in a Sony film? I don't think that's how this is going to go. I think there's going to be, I think you're right, I think there's big new stuff coming, there's big stuff that's going to be in this film. I don't necessarily think this is where we get the debut of a whole bunch of purely Marvel characters going forward.
There is an element of, there's definitely an element of that to consider, which is the fact that, as far as I'm aware, I might be wrong about this, I could check it very easily, but I'm not going to, which is that the Spider-Man movies, because they're Sony, they're partly owned by Sony, obviously, distributed by Sony, in fact, are not on Disney Plus. So I still think The Incredible Hulk isn't on Disney Plus, if I'm right in thinking. So there are three movies in the MCU that aren't on Disney Plus. And this would be the fourth. I'm presuming that this won't be on Disney Plus. I might be completely wrong about that. There's talk of April maybe being the moment that it all happens for Spidey. Poor old Incredible Hulk. But yeah, so maybe there is absolutely something in that. If you want to be cynical about it, Helen, with your business lady head on. But there's also something that makes me think, yeah, I don't think Hugh Jackman's going to walk through a portal in this and suddenly the X-Men are in.
He's out. They're not going to pull him back in.
I'm not so sure about that. I think he'd play Wolverine again at the drop of a hat. I genuinely do. It's been 4 years now. He's got an itch and he wants to scratch it, but he keeps popping his claws.
It's
really, really awkward.
The claws would like cut through him.
But
oh, no.
Do I think Senator Kelly might walk through as played by Bruce Davidson? Maybe.
And immediately collapses in a big puddle of water. Spider-Man's like, what the fuck?
What has happened? Whoa, no, God! I think something like that might happen. Anyway, let's keep our focus on Spider-Man and the Spider-Man universe.
That is how the film ends. It just cuts to a Ramones song after Senator Kelly walks through.
Is there a Ramones song about water? Probably.
Can I share my one Spider-Man theory prompted by this trailer?
Okay, yes, please.
Which is we see MJ falling from a great height.
Yes.
And we see, you know, Tom reaching desperately for her.
Yes.
Tom Holland's Peter Parker reaching desperately for her.
If someone's falling from a great height, you want a person who can fix roofs to help.
Exactly. And Tom Holland, the guy who once fixed James's roof, is the guy you want.
Oh, you mean Tom Holland, the actor?
I was thinking about him, but Tom Holland, the historian, is who I actually had in mind, who I thought would be great. Anyway, here's my point. I think that Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, if he is in this movie, turns up at that point and spins a web to catch her. Because redemption and sort of, you know, like working out your issues and atoning for the fucking dreadful decision to kill off Gwen Stacy that just doomed that entire franchise, you idiots.
That you moment, know, the phrase, you should have gone for the head, springs to mind.
Oh,
what? No. Ben.
Because then she wouldn't have snapped the neck.
Oh, just anyway. Look,
no, that would have been worse.
Too soon.
Her head
too
would have
soon,
come off.
Ben.
Just
oh, God.
Maybe two webs. One for the neck.
Two webs.
No, one for the head, one for the body.
I think you're onto something, but I think actually it's going to be a web that's spun and then she falls at the web all cushioned and nice. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Holland looks up and goes, oh my God, who spun that web? And he looks up and he goes, Avi Arad. And it's Avi Arad and Matt Tomac, the producers of The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Wow, that's a lovely piece of fan fiction that you've concocted. I'm impressed. Okay, I believe you 100%. That seems entirely...
I'm going down to Ladbrokes after this and putting my entire life savings on it. £47! No, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, if he's in the movie, which I like, and I genuinely, I haven't, you know...
At this point in time, because obviously Andrew Garfield, poor guy, he has to promote two projects at the moment. Mainstream and Tick, Tick, Boom. And all he's getting are questions about, are you in Spider-Man No Way Home? And at this point, he's got the, no, I am not in Spider-Man No Way Home thing down pat. Mm-hmm. Of course, the thing is, the one thing that no one's really considering here is that he might actually be telling the truth and he might not be
Spider-Man
No Way Home.
He seems like a very honest sort.
Very honest sort.
And God bless him, if he is in it and has had to contractually deny it for months and then, you know, we'll have to contractually, like, do
undeny
more
it.
Interviews. Undeny it. Like, oh my God, the grief he'll get. I genuinely feel for him. This is an impossible position for somebody to be put in, if indeed he's in it, which of course we don't know.
An impossible sitch.
And if he's not, I mean, this is the thing where we talk about, I'm enjoying all of the excitement in the run-up to this film and the possibilities of what might be while not getting attached to anything in particular happening. Yeah. Because this film doesn't owe us that.
Yeah.
Nobody is owed what kind of people assume might happen or theorize is possible now. If
Absolutely.
He is in it, that is exciting.
Yeah.
If he's not, then there is still so much going on in this film to be happy and excited about.
Do you think they're in it? Okay, first of all, do you think Andrew Garfield is in this film? Go one by one.
Yes.
You think he is?
Yeah.
And this would be a good place for him to turn up and going, hey, let me tell you, pal, last time I saw that happen to my girlfriend. Spider-Man should be more careful about bringing A, their girlfriends with mm-hmm. them up tall buildings mm-hmm. and B, just generally about, you know, balance and things like that.
That's
what I think. That's the lesson I take from these movies.
Yeah.
You think he's in it, Helen?
I'm honestly kind of agnostic on it, but I am inclined to say yes. I think, you know, it's a sort of a storytelling logic thing, isn't it? You know, all these villains are coming from their own universes. All these films are destined to die at the hands of their own Spider-Men, so we're told. Although not all of them did, canonically, in their films. And it therefore maybe makes sense that their Spider-Mans would think that, you know, great responsibility demands that they come after these bad guys and sort of clean up their universe's mess as they might see it. So maybe there's something like that going on.
Okay. Because at the end of the trailer, Doctor Strange, who is helping Spider-Man to an extent.
To an extent.
In this, says they're all coming through and I can't stop them. And so who is the all? Is it a whole ton of Spider-Man villains? Is it Venom? Is it the Spider-Ham and
oh my God.
Spider-Man Noir and all those guys and Toby and Andrew?
We still only have seen 5 of the Sinister Six here. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things, because whenever I did the feature for this, and I was asking people direct questions, and I got a lot of obfuscation, I got a lot of just outright evasion. No, I can't say that, I can't talk about that. You know, is Tobey Maguire in this movie? Oh, I don't know, what are you talking about? Look over there, a blue car. I got a lot of that.
Whoa, blue car,
I got a blue car, yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't get a blue car.
No,
but,
of course
you know,
yeah, but no. You know, there was one.
There was one. Hmm. And I got a lot of that, and I got a lot of can't talk about that. You'll have to see the film, which is, you know, I know what they're doing it, and I know it's difficult, and we're in a bad situation, but my God, that answer just makes me want to rip my ears off. But okay, fair enough. But I also got, one of the few things I did get was I asked Tom Holland, I said, all right, kind of truth or dare, not truth or dare, but yes or no time. Are the Sinister Six in this movie? He went, no. It's one of the few things that someone actually outright denied. And actually looking at the trailer, I think he's right. I don't think that this is what it's going to be presented as. I think that Spider-Man may be battling upwards of 6 villains in this movie, but not all at the same time.
Okay.
And I don't think that they're going to come together as a shadowy cabal that are going, let's take down Peter's Parkers. That's not what they're going to be doing. They're just going to be, it just happens to be that a few of them will be together at the same time.
So as Tom Holland's lawyer, you're saying he may fight 6 villains who could theoretically be described as sinister, but whether they truly define themselves as a unit known as the Sinister Six.
They do not identify as the Sinister Six.
No, absolutely not. I don't wish to indulge in labels.
No, of course not.
That's for sure.
I mean, there is every possibility that, for example, a 6th villain could have been digitally removed from one of the images in this.
Of course.
In this trailer. In fact, I think, and I'm reading online, there has been some speculation about actual digital removal in certain scenes because there are apparently different versions in different countries that show slightly different things.
Explain, because I saw something but didn't have time to dig into it.
So apparently in the Brazilian trailer, Lizard is at one point punching thin air. So Lizard isn't happy about somebody who isn't there. Invisible Man confirmed.
If only we knew of a Spider-Man character, a Spider-Man who had the power to turn invisible.
Miles Morales confirmed?
I think we will see Miles Morales in this movie. I think we'll see the live-action Miles Morales in this movie. One thing we didn't really talk about in the last trailer breakdown, because I hadn't actually noticed, was that one of the shots where you see Peter in the black costume, he's in a sort of what looks like a nursing home. And apparently that if we really properly slowed it down and looked at it, that there are clues there that indicate it's a kind of residence home or something like that that Miles Morales volunteers at. So I think we will see Miles Morales in this film.
That would be awesome.
Whether we see him as Spider-Man, whether we see him with his powers, I don't know, but I think we will see him.
Okay.
But random bullshit that I've just pulled out my arse.
Bring it. That's what we're here for.
something I hadn't thought about. We've talked a lot about all of these sort of Spidey things from other universes coming into the MCU. What if it's partly about Peter Parker finding himself trapped in a different Spidey universe and trying to get home?
I thought about that because that would make No Way Home make sense, right? But then how does Doctor Strange fit into that?
It could end up being a Bad Wolf Bay situation where he has to, you know, shut himself off from Peter Parker forever. I mean, look, we have obviously speculated widely in the podcast that Phase 4 will involve Spider-Man in quite a large role and that he will be one of the key Avengers going forward. But we don't know that. And according to that recent GQ interview, Tom Holland hasn't signed a contract for any, you know, anything after this.
That is correct. As he says in the Empire interview, he says he thinks this might be his last one.
So it could be that we end up in that, like I say, Bad Wolf Bay situation where Doctor Strange has to restore the walls of reality, leaving Peter Parker and all his mates, presumably, in this other bit of the multiverse with all his own villains to fight and none of the MCUs going forward. This could be, we could be seeing the divorce trial here.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I love him. Hope not.
But we shall see. We shall see. I mean, there's a lot to dig into in that regard. The lizard punching thin air thing is very, very interesting. I don't think it's Miles Morales. But do you think they have... there's a couple of other theories knocking around. One is, of course, a Spider-Man wears a mask. Mm-hmm. So there's every chance we have seen Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in this trailer, but we just don't know it.
True.
I don't think so. I think Tom Holland has a fairly recognizable body language. So I've been studying him for a long time.
Oh,
I've been studying his movements.
Creepy.
I've been watching the Umbrella thing for...
Oh my God. Well, every time it comes... That's the rule. Every time it comes up on Twitter, you have to
retweet
it.
It has to be done. I don't think that is Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in this trailer, but I do think they're in it to an extent. What extent? I'm not entirely sure. But there are a couple of other interesting revelations in this trailer, I thought. So all along, I've been wondering whether... You know, again, might be a bit of a bait and switch going on here. You know, these are movies that are almost becoming known for their twists within the MCU. There was a great twist in Homecoming. There was a twist that we saw coming, but I still loved the way it was presented in Far From Home about Mysterio's true motivations and true intentions. And I suspect there's also going to be a big old twist that in this movie. And I was wondering if... I didn't think we were going to go down the road of these bad guys are manifestations of, a dream or something like that, or illusions of some kind, because that was what happened Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to me also that everything we'd seen of Doc Ock, the Alfred Molina Doc Ock, was on this highway. And I was wondering, is there more to that? Is there more to him than that? And this trailer says, yes, there is.
It gives him quite a principal role here, I think.
It does,
And that, you know, that is appropriate for Doc Ock's role in comics, for his place in comic history, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And his slightly more, well, a lot more sympathetic and nuanced portrayal, again, in all the comics. There was the time when, of course, he was Spider-Man, essentially his kind of soul in Peter's body.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of precedent for him being a not entirely a straightforward villain. And I think that's kind of interesting that they're hinting at some of that here, and that there's an element of stopping and talking with not just Spider-Man, but Peter Parker and his friends and Doc Ock.
His amazing friends or just his friends?
I think they're amazing, but in terms of superpowers, I don't think they're super-powered friends, let's say.
No. Yeah, true.
I thought that was a really interesting hint at more to come. I was also... I think I'm overthinking this, having watched it a second time, but the first time I watched this, it almost looked like Doc Ock's arms had absorbed a bit of Stark tech, that they had the signature red.
I don't think you're overthinking it. I think that is a thing.
Is it a thing? Okay.
Because the tentacles, they look different.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I'm really intrigued by, of how, not only how have these characters come across, but at what points in their timelines have they come across? Obviously, Alfred Molina dies. Doc Ock dies in Spider-Man 2.
Willem Dafoe dies.
Mm-hmm.
Willem Dafoe gets hoisted by his own Green Goblin sled thing.
Yes. Apparently someone, before you go and hold your thought there, Ben, but someone apparently on Reddit, because I described the Goblin Glider as a sled. It was making a joke, as I frequently do. And someone on Reddit pounced upon this as a mistake and said, oh my God, this guy from Empire doesn't know anything. He's described the Goblin Glider as a sled. What an idiot. My friend, it was a joke.
What an idiot.
Yeah. So I mean, there you go.
Chris is an idiot, but not for that reason.
But I have been known to occasionally make jokes, and that was one of them.
Anyway. That you have.
But the thing I'm wondering, so I don't know my New York geography.
Hey, you got Queens, which is next to Brooklyn. Brooklyn's on top of the Bronx, and then you got Bronx inside Central Park. What are you going to do?
The Bronx is up and the battery's down.
Okay, Washington Heights is like top of Manhattan.
It's on the heights.
Anyway,
this is very quickly going to become an In the Heights spoiler special if you're not careful. I'm ready for that any second of the day.
Good morning, Usnavi.
I don't know any other bits. Anyway, Ben.
Anyway, yes.
So when in this trailer Peter Parker is fighting Doc Ock, they are on a bridge over some water. And the last time we saw Doc Ock was when he was like sort of drowning. To protect the big sun egg in some water near New York. So have they all been pinched? Because it says in the trailer all the villains were killed by Spider-Man, which, as Helen points out, is not technically true.
That we've seen on screen at least, but yes.
That we know of yet. But maybe what if they're like pinched at the moment of near death and ported across? So they all have like Spidey beef. They're all like at that moment.
Spider beef.
They do seem to have spider beef.
Spider beef.
Not to be confused with spider ham.
No.
Wow, we've got a whole spider charcuterie going on here.
Oh, tasty.
I think that he absolutely has spider beef. But I was wondering about the moment of death thing. I'm not sure it's quite that exact, but it may depend on how much backstory we get for these people and how much we get to know about the exact time that they came through, you know.
Because then as well, we were talking about this because of the Iron Man flourishes on Doc Ock's arms. It's like, so at what point are they taken? Where exactly are they brought across from? And why are the costumes different? Because obviously, thankfully, Electro looks markedly different to how he did in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I like that with some of the sort of flashes of electricity, you get the sort of Electro mask from the comics coming out as like bits of designs from the actual electricity, but he's not a blue dubstep monster anymore. And so at what point do those transformations take place? Is that importing them across? Are they actually, is this not actually Jamie Foxx from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but a variant of that character from a different universe who's come across? I still have so many questions about how all of this actually works. Even within the stuff that we are being shown, it's still full of stuff to kind of ponder over.
And how come Doctor Strange still hasn't defrosted his house? You know, get a hairdryer on that baby, you know, turn off the power at the switch.
Well, what's happened to his house to have it be frosty in the first place?
Exactly.
Iceman confirmed in the MCU.
I think he had a real let it go moment. He was doing some karaoke with Wong.
Makes sense.
Out of hand. Ice Palace everywhere. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Wong having been introduced to karaoke and Shang-Chi and bring Stephen Strange along. And that's what's the catalyst for No Way
accepted.
Home. Yes, please. Yeah, there's so much to dig into. So many questions have been raised by this trailer. You know, we get to see Green Goblin. We get to see Willem Dafoe, but we get to see Green Goblin. And if Peter and MJ and Ned are taking the piss out of Otto Octavius's name, you imagine that some shade's going to be thrown at the Goblin costume at some point in this, which is perhaps why we see a quick flash of a redesigned Goblin later on in the trailer, which some people thought might be
Green Goblin
Harry Osborn, but I don't think it is.
But whoever that is, I tried to pause. It's that shot is happening at night. It's moving. It's in the dark. But what you can see, that person looks younger. That doesn't look like Willem Dafoe to me.
It might be if he's coming through at the time of his death, quote unquote, in the first Spider-Man movie, he's still a bloke in his 40s. So, maybe, you know, they might de-age him to his 40s.
Or, as we've discussed, it may be more than these villains. It may be like every potential Spider-Man villain all turning up at once.
It might well be.
Craven the Hunter, confirmed.
Oh my God. Now we're talking. Honestly, there's dangers here. There's huge dangers here. You know, it's hugely, wildly ambitious. And there's a danger it might overbalance under the weight. It might topple over under the weight of all these Spider-Man villains and perhaps potential Spider-Men. Who knows?
I will crush that Spider-Man and then that other Spider-Man.
Oh my God, what if the Spider-Man from Spider-Man Turn of the Dark comes in as well?
Oh.
And the end of this movie is just Bono and the Edge crying for like 20 minutes. I'd love that. That would be amazing. I read a book about the making of that earlier in the year. I cannot recommend it enough, although I can't remember what it's called. But search for it. It's by Glenn Ballard, who co-wrote the book. And it's very, very eye-opening indeed about what went on in that show. Big shame I never saw it. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time because Pilot are banging on the door demanding to be let in. Oh, what a shame if we just stopped that from happening. Anyway, the whole Dr. Ock thing is really interesting, that they seem to be teaming up with him to an extent. So there goes my Sinister Six. That's one of the things that I think perhaps undermines the Sinister Six argument. The ghost idea is fascinating. I don't know where that movie's going to go with that. That they're not ghosts per se, but that they're people who were somehow snatched from the other spider worlds, other spider universes before the moment of their death. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on with that. And that would seem to indicate as well the moment on the bridge when Doc Ock has our Peter up against that column and realize he goes, "You're not Peter Parker." Well, that obviously implies the existence of another Peter Parker. So that's why I think we will see at least one of the two. I think we'll see definitely. I'm sure but I'm not sure that we'll definitely maybe possibly see Peter Parker potentially played by either Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, or maybe both.
Tobey Garfield and Andrew Maguire.
Tobey Andrew and Garfield Maguire. Garfield Maguire would be a great name for an actor, by the way. Or a president.
There you go.
Yeah. Just a couple of last things I want to talk about. We haven't gone deep dive frame by frame on this. Tom Holland, in that other interview that Helen alluded to earlier on, that it's disgraceful that he's talking to other publications, quite frankly, but there you go. He said that it's not going to be a fun Spider-Man movie. And there are certainly things that happen in the trailer. There's a lovely exchange between MJ and Doctor Strange where he's going Scooby-Doo this crap to them. And she says, "Well, I know a few magic words myself. One of them is please." And he goes, "Oh, okay, please Scooby-Doo this crap." So there certainly seems to be fun, and they're taking a piss out of Otto Octavius' name. So you got that sense of humor that's so prevalent in the first two Spider-Man movies. But you also have the opening shot is Spidey, Tom, Peter.
Yeah.
Not looking terribly happy.
Absolutely devastated.
Yeah, I hope. I know that, you know, an emotional maturation is kind of goes hand in hand with these things. As Peter gets older, as the stakes get raised, there's more for him to lose. I thought he's already lost like so many father figures and mentors in his life. But what do you think about the tone of this movie?
I mean, we know it's still going to be a happy movie because like John Favreau is right there in the trailer. We saw him.
Oh boy. Happy's looking upset. Happy also looks sad.
Unhappy Hogan.
Happy, sad, confused.
Oh. Yeah.
I trust in John Watts the tonally here because I think hopefully what that interview is alluding to is the fact that this is a big, high stakes, serious movie with a lot of danger for Peter Parker, but at the same time, the humor that is inherent in that character and that they've really brought in the previous two John Watts Spider-Man movies will be there. I think that's a defining characteristic of this Spider-Man. Like the Raimi films have a Raimi sense of humor to them, but they're not like funny movies in the way that that these ones are. Same with The Amazing Spider-Man. So I really like, especially that you get Zendaya's kind of like snarky, snarking back to Doctor Strange, because that feels very consistent with her MJ and the sort of attitude that she had right from that first film. And yeah, I can see this being a big, serious, weighty film that still has really funny moments in it. Like with Endgame. Endgame has America's ass in it, but at the same time is doing all the big kind of emotional stuff as well. So I'm hoping for a bit of both. Because I don't want a sad Spider-Man film. I don't want a doomy Spider-Man film. That's not what I love about this Spider-Man, this particular set of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm a little bit worried, though, for his buddy. I don't think they're going to kill MJ because we've had so many women falling off
that would be so
high objects in this.
Are you implying they're going to kill Ned?
I'm a little bit worried for Ned. That's all I'm saying.
If they kill Ned,
We riot. Yeah, 100%. I am with you.
Aunt May? They might kill Aunt May? Although she's only in this trailer in one shot.
I'm also hoping for no one that. Again, let's not... Look, I would prefer that they don't fridge anybody. But both of those feel a bit obvious and have been done a lot. Whereas Ned, God bless him, has not been put in jeopardy particularly.
Because he should be protected at all costs.
I agree, but you know, if somebody's if it's somebody's turn to be in jeopardy, maybe it's Ned's. That's all I'm saying.
Kill Flash. No, I quite like this Flash.
No, you can't kill Flash.
You can't kill Flash.
Well,
that's
actually,
zero.
You might be able to. He's busy doing Willow.
I think Doc Ock will stick around to the end, and I think he may even team up with Peter against the other baddies.
I'm here for that.
I don't know how much we'll see. I don't know whether there's Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman. I don't know whether they'll be able to bring him back. I don't know whether Risa Fans is going to be in this film as a lizard or whether we'll just see him as the lizard. Who knows? Maybe it's even Dylan Baker. There are other unanswered questions. The relationship between Doctor Strange and Spider-Man. What is so important about that magic box that Peter is trying to steal it? Mm-hmm. Clearly from Doctor Strange. How Aunt May and Happy fit into all this. How J. Jonah Jameson fits into all this, especially in a multiverse world. So how do they explain away that this J. Jonah Jameson looks exactly like another... Well, I guess it's variants, isn't it?
Yeah,
I guess it's variants. Okay,
it's variants.
There you go. Totally I've answered my own question. The different outfits. There's a magical Spider-Man outfit, which is augmented by Doctor Strange. There's the Iron Spider. There's all sorts of things going on here. I am excited about this movie. And we have just a month.
Woo-hoo.
We have just a month to go. Just 1 month to go.
It's so close. We get it 2 days earlier here than in the States as well.
Take that, America. But on that note, that is it for this shallow dive, shall we say, into the second and final trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to keep in peel for spoiler specials about this movie and all sorts of things. If you're not a spoiler special subscriber, then I would reconsider that immediately because there's some amazing stuff coming your way. Listen to the regular Empire podcast every Friday as well, of course. In the meantime, it's goodbye from my two colleagues of such lethal cunning, Helen O'Hara.
Toodaloo.
And Ben Travis.
What the fuck?
You know, I don't like the Ramones.
What? What the fuck?
And it's goodbye for me as well. I can't top that as an ending, Ben.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Should we do it on three? There's no way I can come up with a good ending. So okay. Let's just do it on three. Okay, one, two, three.
What the fuck?